Topic 95, Inspirational Writing. 1. I would like to point out certain factors and methods which should be borne in mind in connection with inspirational writing and mediumship, and which have a bearing on the writing of such books as The Secret Doctrine, The Scriptures of the World, and those transmitted volumes which potently affect the thought of the race. Some transmitters work entirely on astral levels, and their work is necessarily part of the great illusion. They are unconscious mediums and are unable to check the source from whence the teachings come. If they claim to know the source, they are frequently in error. Some work only on mental levels, learning through telepathy that which the elder brothers of the race and their own souls have to impart. They tap the sources of knowledge stored in the egoic consciousness. They become aware of the knowledge stored in the brains of disciples on the same ray as themselves. Some of them, being outposts of the Master's consciousness, become also cognizant of his thought. Some use several of the methods, either consciously or unconsciously. Each generation now should produce its seers. They must seek preeminently to be dependable instruments, unswayed by passing storms. They must endeavor to remain free from depression, no matter what occurs, liberated from discouragement, with a keen sense of proportion, a right judgment in all things, a regulated life, a disciplined physical body, and a wholehearted devotion to humanity. Where these qualities are present, the masters can begin to use their destined workers. Where they are absent, other instruments must be found. Some people learn at night and regularly bring over into their physical brain consciousness the facts they need to know and the teachings they should transmit. Many methods are tried, suited to the nature of the aspirant or chela. Some have brains that act telepathically as transmitters. I deal with the safer and rarer methods which utilize the mental vehicle as the intermediary between the soul and the brain, or between the teacher and the disciple. Methods of communication on the astral level, such as the Ouija board, the planchette pencil, automatic writing, the direct voice and statements made by the temporarily obsessed medium, are not utilized as a rule by chelas, though the direct voice has had its use at times. The higher mental methods are more advanced and surer, even if rarer. The true transmitters from the higher egoic levels to the physical plane proceed in one or other of the following ways. 1. They write from personal knowledge and therefore employ their concrete minds at the task of stating this knowledge in terms that will reveal the truth to those that have eyes to see, and yet will conceal that which is dangerous from the curious and the blind. 2. They write because they are inspired, because of their physical equipment, their purity of life, their singleness of purpose, their devotion to humanity, and the very karma of service itself. They have developed the capacity to touch the higher sources from which pure truth or symbolic truth flows. They can tap thought currents that have been set in motion by that great band of contemplators, or those definite specialized thought currents originated by one of the great staff of teachers. Their brains, being receptive transmitters, enable them to express these contacted thoughts on paper. The accuracy of the transmission being dependent upon the receptivity of the instrument, that is, the mind and the brain, of the transmitter. In these cases, the form of words and sentences are left largely to the writer. 3. They write because of the development of the inner hearing. Their work is largely stenographic, yet is also partially dependent upon their standard of development and their education. Their responsibility as to accuracy is therefore divided between the one who imparts the teaching and the transmitting agent. He must have a certain amount, therefore, of education and be himself a profound seeker of truth before he will be chosen to be the recipient of teachings that are intended for the general public or for esoteric use. Above everything else, he must have learned through meditation to focus himself on the mental plane. From A Treatise on White Magic, pages 174 through 178. 2. This form of work might be divided into three methods. There is first the higher clairaudience that speaks directly from mind to mind. This is not exactly telepathy, but a form of direct hearing. The teacher will speak to the disciple as person to person. A conversation is therefore carried on entirely on mental levels, with the higher faculties as the focusing point. Secondly, we have telepathic communication. This is the registry in the physical brain consciousness of information imparted. Thirdly, we have inspiration. This involves another aspect of development. Inspiration is analogous to mediumship, but is entirely egoic. It utilizes the mind as the medium of transmission to the brain of that which the soul knows. Mediumship usually describes the process when confined entirely to the astral levels. The medium is an unconscious instrument. He is not himself the controlling factor. He is controlled. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 180. 3. One of the interesting things that is happening, and one of the factors which will serve eventually in the work of demonstrating the fact of the soul, is the mass of communications, inspired writings, and telepathic dictations which are flooding the world today. As you know, the spiritualistic movement is producing a vast amount of this inspired or pseudo-inspired literature, some of it of the very highest order, and unquestionably the work of highly evolved disciples, and some of it most mediocre in quality. The various theosophical societies have been the recipients of similar communications, and they are found in every occult group. True communications are frequently of deep spiritual value and contain much teaching and help for the aspirant. Students of the times would do well to remember that it is the teaching that is of moment, not the supposed source. By their intrinsic value alone, these writings and communications must be judged. These communications emanate in the majority of instances from the soul plane, and the recipient or the communicator, the intermediary or the scribe, is either inspired by his own soul or has tapped the thought level and knowledge of the ray group to which his soul belongs. He tunes in on a reservoir of thought, and his mind and brain translate these thoughts into words or phrases. In a lesser number of cases, the man who is receiving a dictation or writing is in telepathic rapport with some more advanced disciple than himself, and his mind is being impressed by some chela in his group. This chela, who is closer to the master than he is, passes on to him some of the knowledge that he has absorbed through being able to live within the master's aura. But the master is not concerned in the process. It lies between the chela and the aspirant. In these cases, the receiver of the communication is often misled and thinks that the master himself is dictating to him, whereas in reality he has, through a more advanced chela than himself, tuned in on the master's thought atmosphere. None of the masters of the sixth initiation, such as the masters M and KH, are at this time working through dictation with their disciples. They are too much engrossed with world problems and with the work of watching over the destinies of the prominent world figures in the various nations to have any opportunity to dictate teaching to any particular disciple in some small field of activity, and upon subjects of which sufficient is already known to enable the disciple to go ahead alone and unaided. Two of the masters are working telepathically and through dictation with several accepted disciples, and their effort is to inspire these disciples, who are active in world work, to greater usefulness in the plan. They are working in this way in order to impress a few of the prominent thinkers in the field of science and of social welfare with the needed knowledge which will enable them to make the right moves in the emergence of the race into greater freedom. But I know of no others in this particular generation who are doing so, for they have delegated much of this work to their initiates and disciples. The bulk of the communicators today working through aspirants on the physical plane are active working chelas of accepted degree who, living as they do in the thought aura of the Master and his group, are steadily endeavoring to reach all kinds of people all over the world in all groups. Hence the increasing flood of communications, of inspired writings, and of personal messages and teaching. When you add to the above the equally large flood of communications which emanate from the transmitter's own souls and from the realm of the subconscious, you have accounted for the mass of the material going out now. In all this, there is need for deep thankfulness at the growing responsiveness and sensitivity of man. From a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 107 through 109. See also A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, page 251.